Yeah, they sent all this to me free, but that wasn't the point that I was going for. Anyway, they sent me. I was saying, Lord, I'm talking about decisions and the Word of God, and show me what to do, because if you want to use this to help me, you know, and maybe I won't have those symptoms, you know. And so it's just been I don't know what to do. And up on my phone popped up, it said world's number one authority on cancer. And so he started talking, and he started about an hour's worth of stuff. He's saying, here's the five things that cause cancer. And he was just explaining all of it. And he said, and really, some people should, I mean, probably it's God's plan for them to take this, and it has cured, it really has helped thousands of people. But he was saying, if we would find another, there are other things. And he said the only reason we don't move on to other forms of treatment is because it's like the sacred cow. It's been in place so long and nobody will touch it, and it's very lucrative. And because it's very lucrative, they won't find anything else, even though we know nobody's gonna survive it. And we know it's not going to cure. It's not going to cure. And that's what he kept telling me. It's not. This is not a cure. This is perhaps it will affect the thing that is causing the very cell, the cancer cell, and stop its growth. But it stops all the good growth. Your nails don't grow. Your hair don't grow. All of that stuff don't grow. So it's just a catch-21. And then this man came up telling all these details. And I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to wait for now and just see. And if the Lord speaks to me, I'll delve into that. So I'm just waiting on God right now. But, you know, his word goes down to the very marrow and can heal those marrow and bone. And maybe all of those symptoms will go away. If you're taking chemo, don't stop taking chemo, because I said any of this. I'm just saying what I'm trying to judge for what I should do.
What's good for you may not be good for someone else.
Right, and somebody else's body may be able to handle that. He called it a poison. And he said, it is a poison, but some people can recover from that. Mm. Other people's body can't. But anyway, so I'm just saying today I want to talk about the word. It says, listen to this. Husbands, listen, love your wives, just as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. And the next verse says, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of the water by the word, that he may present to her, to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. So that's what the word of God does to us. We need to pray.
Yes. Wouldn't that be a good time to take a break?
I'm seeing some restlessness among the natives here. Okay, yes.
Helen Parrish Smith said, good to see you this morning on my computer. Love you.
Oh, that's sweet. We've been friends since we were 12 years old. Love you too, Helen. That's sweet.
We want to pray for Deanne Thomas, who's having a PET scan Friday for comparison and having her fourth treatment.
Who?
Deanne Thomas.
Deanna Thomas, mm-hmm. Okay.
And then our friend Delana asked us to pray for a young woman who is having a mammogram, ultrasound, and biopsy this week.
Okay. Boy, aren't you glad for the power of prayer? Mm. Have y'all, I ask in our circle of, we have 5:30 on Sunday night, we have prayer. And it's growing, our little circle's growing. And I ask everybody, have you seen an instant healing? And they begin to tell me. And Brent told about his instant healing. He had been having trouble with his knee so much. I said, Brent, you need to go have it checked. I said, it could be cancer. Woman of faith and power here. Mm-hmm. And this is quite a while. This is a couple years ago. And he said, Mother, it doesn't matter what it is. God's going to heal it. Mm. Okay, son, I'm going to try to have your kind of faith, you know. And he was looking at the Word of God. He was in the bathtub, and he just read about where it says, and we are the seed of Abraham. And he's like, I'm the seed of Abraham. Then in the name of Jesus, I command you knee to be healed. And he's moved his leg, and his leg popped, and the pain went away. He has never had another pain in that knee. He wouldn't tell anybody for a while, just in case, you know, it wasn't right. Instantly, God healed that knee. And a couple other people were telling of instant things that happened. I'm going, can I touch you? Can you faith? Come on, let me touch you. I want that kind of faith. We had Kathy was healed one day in our church just a couple months ago, and she was healed of cancer. Mm-hmm. Had any more cancer in her body, Kathy Rios. And they have since found a spot, but they said she had it in her muscles, she had it everywhere. And she said, all I knew is going to do that. And I'm going, you little tooter scooter? I was like, did you feel anything? No. The Lord healed Connor's eyes a couple of years ago in revival, and he had just broken his glasses just before church, and they were laughing about that and what happened with that. But he was in the sound booth, and he was praying, and he said he couldn't see the deals because his glasses were broken, and he couldn't see it. And then the Lord healed him, and all of a sudden he can read the board up there, and he could see it, and he hadn't worn glasses since. So I'm like, okay, Lord, get this faith in my heart. You know, I'm still in my waiting period, but. You know, and if the Lord does choose to take me on to heaven, I think he's going to heal me. But if he don't, it's going to be a pretty good place to be. You know, heaven's a pretty good place to be. And most of the people that I have heard that have gone and had an experience there and then came back, there's this one guy. I'm sorry, we will pray, girls, in a minute. But this guy named Diamond Jim just barely made heaven. His wife had been praying, but he was dying. He was in his pickup, and he said it felt like water was coming up, and he realized he was dying, and he said he just had his grief come over him that he had not received the Lord, and so he called out, God, help me, and he said then he just felt better, and he got out of his pickup, and then he turned and looked, and he said, somebody had the audacity to get into my pickup, and it was sleeping over the steering wheel, but he said, I got closer to him and looked, and it was me. And so he had come out of his body, but he talked about how the Lord zooped him up to heaven and how he was in a place where it was beautiful here, but this side was brown and black and awful and a crevice, and this creature was coming up the side kind of saying, come on, Jim, we've been waiting for you, come on. And he said, if I'd have looked at it, he said, I think it would have just gobbled because people were screaming like in its belly. Anyway, it's a horrible thing. But anyway, he turned and he said, God, again, help me. And three angels appeared, and it's a really neat story. One of them shot that thing back down into there, and God took him around heaven, and he got to see Jesus. And he said, I was where I always wanted to be. It's the most blessed time of my entire life. And he said, Jesus then told him he has to go back. And this is where he started going, oh, no, please. Please, I won't be much trouble. He said, I don't know why I didn't say that, but he said, I won't be much trouble. And he said, Jesus said, you must go back. Your time is not. He said, literally, I fell at his feet and started to try to get a hold of his feet, and Jesus disappeared, and an angel stood there. And an angel picked me up, turned me around, and headed me. But he had been out of his body 9 hours. But he was just begging, oh, please let me stay. Oh, please let me stay. So heaven's a pretty good place to be. If I only heard of one lady who Jesus asked her if she wanted. Her name was Betty Maltz. And they asked her if she died. And they asked her if she wanted to stay or go back. And she said, I remembered I had a six-year-old daughter, and I wanted to raise her. And she said, well, I want to stay and sing with the angels for a while. And then I want to go back. But she said she's immediately going back into her body. And anyway, she's a missionary, became a missionary's wife, and she had a great story. So heaven's a great place to be, but I'm not quite through. I'd like to live to be about 102 if that's God's will, and if not, well, he knows what's best. Amen. Okay, Gene Thompson is having a PET scan Friday for comparison and having her fourth treatment. So she had cancer. And her name is Jean?
Jean.
Deanie?
Deanne.
Okay.
I think that's
okay. Well, join me in prayer. Father, we just come to you today, Lord, and we thank you for Deanne, and we just ask you, Lord Jesus, to minister to her. Father, we know nothing is impossible with you. We know that to him that believeth, all things are possible to him that can believe. And we just ask you to be with her during this PET scan. God, that you will be with her. God, that you will remove all cancer from her body. We know, God, that you can do all things, and I pray you will fill her heart with faith that you'll fill her heart with love and assurance, God, that you're going to work in her life. Bless her, meet her need, and we give you praise for it in Jesus' name. Father, I pray for Delana. Pray for the lady who's having a mammogram and an ultrasound and a biopsy this week, Lord, that you would just be with that person. Father, we're all in such needy people, God, and I just ask, Lord, that you would help her, that you will minister to her, that you will do what no one else can do, God. You are our God, and we trust you, we look to you, and we know that we are more than conquerors through the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. We ask for great and mighty things, Lord, and these meet these needs in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Stay tuned, y'all. Don't go away. We will be right back.
Hello, this is Rick Spain with Spain's Construction with something to think about. When you are confronted with difficult situations, it's not the reply of the tongue that matters. It's the response of the heart. That is where the real you lives. If you use words to deal with life, they will only be as valuable as the words. If you put your heart into it, the value is multiplied. Always be ready to provide an answer, and if necessary, words.
Drew's Plumbing, Heating and Cooling is located in Corn, Oklahoma. For all of your plumbing, heating and cooling needs, contact Drew's at 580-343-2525. They are a company that cares.
When life changes, you have to adjust, like downsizing your household or selling a business. When we had to do that, we called Grant's Auction and Realty. Our family has used them for 2 estate sales. Mike and Cindy Grant are really organized, and they lot and catalog every item. If you're a seller, that gets you top dollar on your items. And if you're a buyer, cataloged items let you study what you want and know about when they'll sell. When that time comes in your life, call Grant's Auction and Realty, 580-225-0269.
Crosscut Creations by Pastor Joe Thompson. If you would like some custom designs in wood, you can contact Pastor Joe at 580-343-8635. Joshua's Crossing Ministries is located right here in Elk City at the Promise Center. Pastor Tammy Bailey would like to invite you to the Refuge Church. They're located at 18304 East 1140 Road in Sayre, Oklahoma. Sunday school is at 10, Sunday worship at 10:45, Sunday evening prayer is at 5, Sunday evening Bible study at 6, Wednesday Bible study at 7, Wednesday youth group at 7. If you have any other questions, you can contact Pastor Tammy at 580-729-0956.
We hope
we're back. Surprise.
I thought we were back.
Surprise. We are back. You are tuned into the Hour of Power this morning. Our guest for today is our beautiful sister in Christ, Miss Sister Judy Gifford Parker. Now, before we get back, Audrey on TikTok. Good morning, TikTok. We're so glad you are joining us. Audrey Ripito on TikTok asked us if we would pray for her. We love you, sister. So if we could pray for Miss Audrey, that would be great.
Do you want to lead out pray for
her? I sure will.
I think you need to.
Okay. Father God, we just thank you for being who you are.
Yes, Lord.
And we thank you for our sister in Christ, Audrey.
Yes.
Lord, we don't know all the details, but you do. In the name of Jesus, I ask that you touch her right now in the name of Jesus. Let her feel your presence and hear your sweet, soft whisper for instruction in Jesus' name. You know what she needs. Lord, we can only guess, but you know because you formed her. You knitted her together in the womb of our mother. You knew her before she was even thought of by her parents. Her parents are the tools that you used. They are who you used to bring her to this earth, to bring her into this world. And I'm so grateful, Lord, that I know her. She is a sweet blessing. And I ask that you go to her right now in Jesus' name. And just let her feel you, your comfort, your warm touch. In Jesus' name, we love you and we thank Amen. You.
Amen. Amen. There's a little song that says, there's power in prayer, mm-hmm. power to spare. All that you'll ever need is waiting right there.
Amen.
A few words, a child's faith, and it's goodbye despair. There's power, so much power. There's power in prayer. So we can always pray. Whosoever, the scripture mm-hmm. says, shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And I told the nursing home people, I can't call for you.
Mm-mm.
I can pray for you.
Yes.
But I can't do your calling. You have to call out of your heart. It can be as simple as the man who can barely speak on the cross that says, mm-hmm. remember me when you come to your mm-hmm. kingdom. Or a Steve Hill who started yelling, Jesus, Jesus. However we come to him, I tell them his name is Jesus, so call on him. But he knows and he hears your heart cry when you call on him. And it said, whoever will do that will be saved.
Mm-hmm.
So don't fail to do that. I talked to a little girl who'd come to my door once to witness to me. And I told her, honey, no matter what they say to you, don't let them take Jesus away from you. Because he's the only way to the
yes.
Father. The Bible, he says, I am the way, I'm the truth, I'm the life.
Yes.
And no one comes to the Father but by me. And I told her, kneel at your bed at night
mm-hmm.
and talk to Jesus, because he's the one that is the Savior. And the lady that was out in the street that opened a van and let a bunch of people out to go door to door, and this little girl was listening to me talk. And the lady in the street, my door was open, and she noticed that I was doing the talking, and the girl was listening, and she came up to the door and got her. And wouldn't let me have, so she was a pretty young one. She wouldn't let me have her. But I got that one word in. Whoever you are,
yes.
don't let anyone take Jesus away from you. Don't let them talk you out of believing somebody else is the way. Jesus said, I am the way. I'm the truth. I'm the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. And Bible says, a matter of fact, anybody that tries to climb up another way is a thief and a mm-hmm. robber. You can't say, because I've been so good, because my daddy was a preacher, my brother was a preacher, my husband was a preacher, my brother-in-law was a preacher, my nephew was a preacher, my other nephew was a preacher. Got it made in the shade, Jade. That has nothing to do with
mm-hmm.
it. It's not by man's righteousness. The Bible says our righteousness is as filthy rags in his sight. So we can't say, yeah, I did this many good deeds. Well, I know I messed up over here, but these deeds are going to outweigh that deed. It has nothing to do with what you've done. It has everything to do with what Jesus did on the cross. He's the one that gave his life. He's the one that bore the sins of the world. And what amazes me is when he was on the cross, there was, I think he knew he was going to go to the cross, and he prayed, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. It wasn't mm-hmm. possible, so he drank that cup of suffering. But he did not know what it felt like to be separated from God.
Mm-hmm.
He had never known what it was to be have that what a lost soul feels like.
Yeah.
And when he took the sins of the world, I believe, my viewpoint is, he had to know what it was to be lost. He had to know what it was
separation.
To be separated mm-hmm. from God. And so God allowed that. God turned his back on his son. And his son was shocked at that. I mean, I would have just imagined Jesus thinking, look what I'm going through, and you leave me now?
Mm-hmm.
Look what I'm going through for you, and you leave me now? But God knew, and Jesus didn't understand that part, or he wouldn't have said, why have you forsaken me?
Yeah.
He wouldn't have asked that. He would have known it was part of the plan.
Mm.
But he wouldn't have, he didn't know. And he said, why, Lord? Why have you forsaken me? And that's why I say God welcomes sincere whys.
Mm-hmm.
He don't welcome how dare yous. When we don't like what God has allowed, and we go, why? Which kind of meant, how dare you? Why'd you let this happen to me? Mm-hmm. That's what God don't accept. God does accept, Lord, I don't understand. Why? Mm-hmm. Why? He understands a why, and he accepts. He don't understand a challenge of how dare you, but that wasn't what Jesus did. Jesus just didn't know. But then he fully understood. He took the sins of the whole world. I can't imagine. He bore that. It started in the Gethsemane as he prayed. And that weight of that sin, I can imagine the weight of our own sins is pretty heavy. But the weight of everybody's sins in the whole world that's ever lived, it broke his capillaries. And he sweat blood. Just that weight on him. And I fully don't even fully grasp what he did. What I have to do is just accept that he died for me. And he took, the song goes like this. He paid a debt he did not owe. I owed a debt I could not pay. I needed someone to wash my sin away. And now I sing a brand new song, Amazing Grace. Christ Jesus paid a debt that I could never pay. And I can try to pay it, and I'll wind up standing before him, saying, well, I did all I could do to pay for my sins. And he goes, no, wait, I paid for your sins. All you had to do was accept what I did on the cross. So I try to get the nursing home people to say that. I believe you're the Son of God. I believe you died for my sins. I believe you rose again. Almost every time that I have service with them, I will say, if you want to, follow me in this prayer. And I'm amazed at how many. We had about 30 people out this last time. And I'm amazed at how many of them will come out. And you know what? They turn over quite a bit. More coming, some going. And it's just such an honor to get to go to talk to them about Jesus. But just whoever's listening today, just the Bible says, whosoever, and you're that whosoever. You haven't done too much. You're not too good or too bad. You're not so good that you don't need him, and you're not so bad that he won't receive you. So just be that whosoever and say, you know what, I'm going to stand on what. And get you scriptures. Mm-hmm. Get you scriptures to stand on, to hold on to, and say, God, I didn't say this. You said it. You know, look what it says here. It says, because he has set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high because he's known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble, and I will deliver him and honor him. With long life I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. This is Psalms 91, and on this one I've gone, Judy, 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 Judy. I wrote my name on every, Judy, 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 Judy. I've written my name on every one of those promises. But go into the Word of God and look and read Psalms 91. Claim it for yourself, whatever your problems are, and pray and ask. And I was praying. Y'all probably didn't know how hard I was praying for a husband. God sent Aaron my way, and what a blessing he is in my life. And thankful for. What God has done for me. But whatever your need is, just only trust him. Only trust him. The scripture says, the song says, only trust him now. He will save you. He will keep you. Only trust him now. So I give it back to you today, just saying thank you for inviting me, and thank you, Helen, for saying hello. I love you. And it's just good to know Jesus, to know if we live in him, and if we die, we are the Lord's. If we live, we're okay. If we die, we're okay.
Amen. You know, I think, Sister Judy, for myself, that was something the Lord showed me, that was my issue, was after Mark passed away, and I went to see your name, I think you can relate to what I'm about to say. Mm-hmm. To see your name in stone, it's final. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's like, for me, it was like a punch in the gut. Mm-hmm. Like, whoa, wait a minute. That's my name.
On the tombstone.
On the headstone. Mm-hmm. That's my name. Mm-hmm. That's my name.
Right.
And my birth date. Mm-hmm. And that, I mean, the realness of death hit me hard.
Yeah.
In that moment.
Yeah, finality of it.
And yeah, I mean, it got really real, Sister Judy. Yeah. It got super real, really quick. And I remember the first time I was standing there after the funeral and everything was said and done. I remember standing there staring at my name. And this fear overcame me. And I didn't really understand it then. And it just, Monica, allowed that fear to take hold of her instead of taking hold of that fear. Mm-hmm. I allowed the fear to take over me. Mm-hmm. And my fear, the fear was afraid of dying. And I realized I was so afraid to die because I wasn't convinced of where I would go.
Yes, you're not right. Yeah.
I wasn't.
That's the kicker.
The lies of the enemy, the snake had lied to me so much throughout my life. Mm-hmm. And I had so many baby snakes and eggs in my head that I didn't believe.
The washing of the word.
I didn't believe that I would go to heaven.
Right.
I didn't know. Mm-hmm. I didn't know that I know that I know that right. I would be with my Jesus.
Yeah.
Then.
Right.
And now I can say, death, where is your sting?
Yes.
Because today I know that I know that I know.
Right.
I know right. In my knower that I know.
Right.
That when my time here is done.
Right.
My eternal life begins.
Right.
And I don't have to be afraid of death anymore.
Right.
So I speak to you today. We speak to you today. We encourage you today. If you don't know in your knower that you will go to heaven when your time here is done, I want to encourage you this morning to cry out, call out to Jesus. Because I can tell you, that cross right there, that empty tomb on that cross, was done for you.
Yes.
Just as much as it was for me and any other human being on this earth. He did it for all people. Mm-hmm. He made a way for all of us to be joined back with our Father in heaven.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Amen. Amen. That's truth. That's the gospel.
And it's.
It's the gospel in a nutshell.
It's so great to know in my knower now.
Yes.
And that I don't have to be terrified of death anymore.
Right.
And the devil is a bully. He's the oldest, meanest bully that's ever been.
Yes.
But you have, when you come into a relationship with God, when you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you then get the key and the authority to put the devil in his place in your life. Amen. Under your feet.
Amen. Amen. And he's an intimidator. Mm-hmm. Like you said, a bully.
Yeah.
and he wants to intimidate you mm-hmm. and lie to you. And we have to be careful to know the difference in God's voice mm-hmm. and the enemy's voice. Because I have seen several people that said, "Oh, God told me," but it wasn't God speaking. Yeah. And one of the gaugers that you can gauge is when the thing speaks to you. Does it make you upset? Mm-hmm. Does it bring you down? Does it give you fear or hope? This voice speaking to me, what does that do to me? What emotions does that invoke? If it tells me something to do, is it going to be accomplishing something for, you know, I mean, I've heard people say, God said do this and God said do that. And I really think the enemy is just running them around and they really didn't know God's voice. And because it's ridiculous, silly things that, you know, and I know when I was young, that was what started the depression that I went through, is I didn't know God's voice and the enemy's voice. But his voice isn't harsh. It's not mean. It's not pushy. He doesn't say you have. Even the most important thing is salvation. And he doesn't push you. He calls you.
Yes.
And he draws you.
Yes.
And he makes you want to come to him. He doesn't nail drive you. And the enemy, he nail drives people. You have to. You can't. I said... Mm-hmm. You know, and if you're when you're a young Christian, and sometimes even when we're older, we have to really discern. Lord, is this your voice? Mm-hmm. If this is your voice, give me peace about this, because the enemy, he tries to pass himself off as somebody. Mm-hmm. I like what I heard up at the Andrew Womack conference. I heard a lady speak, and she said, "The devil wants you to think he is all that and a bag of chips." And she said, "You know what he really is? A homeless, lying loser." Because he lost his home. He got kicked out of his home. And he lost it. And he don't have no home. And he's going to hell. And he's going to spend eternity in hell. So he's trying to take everybody he can with him. Mm-hmm. But he is a homeless, lying loser, is what she called him. Mm. So we need to turn away from every voice that doesn't lift up Jesus, every voice that doesn't lift you up. If it brings you down and makes you feel bad about yourself or hate yourself or whatever, it's the enemy, and he wants every way to steal, kill, and destroy. The Bible says he runs to and fro across this world, seeking whom he may devour. But the Bible says the eyes of the Lord run all over the world to bless those whose hearts are perfect toward him. And it doesn't mean you're a perfect person. It means you perfectly seek him and you perfectly love him. And his eyes are on you to protect you. And remember what God did. He said, "Have you seen my servant Job?" to the devil. And the devil says, "Yeah, I've seen him. But you got this hedge about him. And I can't get to him because you've got this hedge. But if you would remove that, he would curse you to your face." And so God took up the challenge and pulled back part of that hedge, and he took about everything Job had, and Job still didn't sin. And the next time he came before the Lord said, "Have you noticed my servant Job?" And he said, "Yeah, skin for skin, you let me touch his body, and he'll curse you to your face." And so we see Job sitting on an ash heap. Boils must be horrible. I've never had a boil. But he's scraping with a piece of pottery. He's scraping those boils. He's lost so much weight. His friends are just in awe that how he looks, you know. Yeah. And they're blaming him. Surely he's done something wrong or he wouldn't be going through this. And even his wife, even Job's wife comes up to him, and the devil puts in her mind to say what he wants said and what he wants Job to do. So she speaks it out her mouth. And that's what you have to be careful, too, if people speak the wrong thing to you. Anyway, she said, "Oh, man, curse God and die." And that's what she was trying, you know, the devil was wanting to do. So he spoke through her, "Curse God and die." But in all this, Job sinned not with his mouth. He said, "Oh, foolish woman, have we not received good at the hand of the Lord? And should we not receive evil at the hand of the Lord?" And then he said, "Those skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh will I see God." Mm-hmm. And God was so proud of his boy Job that day and sent the devil on his way. And Job was elevated again and given back children, giving back lands and everything that he lost, cattle. He was the richest man in the land at the time. And then God restored all that to him. So those of us that are walking through trial, I like that word through, walking through trial. If we will be faithful and if we will hang on to him, he will bring us out and we will be more than conquerors.
Amen. Amen. Well, I appreciate you coming on short notice.
Thank
Yesterday
you.
Yesterday I was like, we don't have a guest for tomorrow, Lord. I don't, who? And then your name dropped in my spirit and I said, oh, yes.
Thank you. Thank you.
Well,
I love
coming. We appreciate you and we love you so much.
Thank you. I love coming.
You have been tuned into the Hour of Power this morning, y'all. And you already know I am going to say it again. This is the most powerful hour of my day. From all of us here in the studio, myself, Monica Lovell, the beautiful Tina Dobbs, and our beautiful sister, Judy Parker. Judy Gifford Parker. Y'all have a blessed day, and we will see y'all next time.
Love you.
We hope today's edition of the Hour of Power has been encouraging and uplifting for you and your family. If you have a prayer request you would like to send after the program, email us at hourofpower32@gmail.com. You're listening to a broadcast produced daily, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. on therockchristianmusic.com or The Rock Christian Music on Facebook. Download the Paragon Communications app where you'll find The Rock Christian Music and take us with you everywhere.